and operated all the right switches. And her hair. That had only happened recently, though. It used to be unmanageable, but at around the age of 17, she had found it more or less managed itself. That had lost her several young men. Someone's hair rearranging itself into a new style, the tresses curling around themselves like a nest of kittens, could definitely put the crimp on any relationship. She'd been making good progress, though. She could go for days now without feeling anything other than entirely human. But it was always the case, wasn't it? You could go out into the world, succeed on your own terms, and sooner or later, some embarrassing old relative was bound to turn up. Grunting and swearing, the gnome clambered out of another drainpipe, jammed its hat firmly on its head, threw its sack onto a snowdrift, and jumped down after it.
"It's a good one," he said. "Take him weeks to get rid of that one."
He took a crumpled piece of paper out of a pocket and examined it closely. Then he looked at an elderly figure working away quietly at the next house. It was standing by a window, drawing with great concentration on the glass. The gnome wandered up, interested, and watched critically.
"Why just fern patterns?" he said after a while. "Pretty, yeah, but you wouldn't catch me putting a penny in your hat for fern patterns."
The figure turned, brush in hand.
"I happen to like fern patterns," said Jack Frost, coldly.
"It's just that people expect, you know, sad, big-eyed kids, kittens looking out of boots, little doggies, that sort of thing."
"I do ferns."
"Or big pots of sunflowers, happy seaside scenes."
"And ferns."
"I mean, supposing some big high priest wanted you to paint the temple ceiling with gods and angels and such like, what did you do then?"
"He could have as many gods and angels as he liked, provided they
looked like ferns."
"I resent the implication that I am solely fern fixated," said Jack Frost. "I can also do a very nice paisley pattern."
"What's that look like then?"
"Well, it does, admittedly, have a certain ferny quality to the uninitiated eye." Frost leaned forward. "Who are you?"
The gnome took a step backwards.
"You're not a tooth fairy, are you? I see more and more of them about these days. Nice girls."
Nah, not teeth," said the gnome, clutching his sack.
"What then?"
The gnome told him.
"Really?" said Jack Frost. "I thought they just turned up."
"Well, come to that, I thought frost on the windows just happened all by itself," said the gnome. "Yeah, you don't half look spiky. I'll bet you go through a lot of bed sheets."
"I don't sleep," said Frost icily, turning away. "And now, if you'll excuse me, I have a large number of windows to do. Ferns aren't easy. You need a steady hand."
"What do you mean, dead?" Susan demanded. "How can the Hogfather be dead? Isn't he what you are? An
anthropomorphic personification? Yes, he has become so. The spirit of Hogswatch."
"But how? How can anyone kill the Hogfather? Poisoned sherry? Spikes in the chimney?"
"There are more subtle ways."
"Cough, cough, cough, cough. Ugh. Oh, dear, this soot," said Albert loudly. "Chokes me up something cruel."
"And you've taken over?" said Susan, ignoring him. "That's sick."
Death contrived to look hurt.
"I'll just go and have a look somewhere," said Albert, brushing past her and opening the door.
She pushed it shut quickly.
"And what are you doing here, Albert?" she said, clutching at the straw. "I thought you'd die if you ever came back to the world."
"Ah, but we are not in the world," said Death. "We are in the special congruent reality created for the Hogfather. Normal rules have to be suspended. How else could anyone get around the entire world in one night?"
"It's right," said Albert, leering. "One of the Hogfather's little helpers, me. Official, got the pointy green hat and everything."
He spotted the glass of sherry and a couple of turnips that the children had left on the table and bore down on them. Susan looked shocked. A couple of days earlier, she'd taken the children to the Hogfather's grotto in one of the big shops in the mall. Of course, it wasn't the real one, but it had turned out to be a fairly good actor in a red suit. There had been people dressed up as pixies and a picket outside the shop by the Campaign for Equal Heights.
The C.E.H. was always ready to fight for the rights of the differently tall, and was not put off by the fact that most pixies and gnomes weren't the least bit interested in dressing up in little pointy hats with bells on when there were other far more interesting things to do. All that tinkly-wee stuff was for the old folks back home in the forest. When a tiny man hit Ankh-Morpork, he preferred to get drunk